In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow. There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome to another episode of Strange Planet. Thanks as always for sticking me in your ear. Many of you may be aware that from time to time I can be heard on Coast to Coast AM, which is billed as the largest late-night talk radio program probably in the world, emanating out of Los Angeles and has something like 600 affiliates across North America and Guam, if you're keeping track. I'm going to speak with one of my colleagues on Coast. In fact, I think we started Coast to Coast around the same time, 2014. And we're going to talk Bigfoot and cryptids and haunted locations with Connie Willis, a professional broadcaster, radio and television for two decades on networks like Disney, Oxygen, ESPN, Speed, QVC, HSN, and more. And again, you can hear her on Coast to Coast. She's been there since 2014. She has several of her own programs as well. She's got a brand new podcast she'll tell us about, and of course, Blue Rock Talk, which is her exclusive membership show, taking you to creepy hotspots with real investigations of Bigfoot, strange lights, and hauntings live virtually. and Connie After Dark, which is her live virtual open bar. Oh, I like the sound of that, an open bar. Nothing worse than a cash bar, where you can enjoy a drink or water if you'd prefer, and a conversation with her and others from your home. And you can find all of this at ConnieWillis.com. Connie, great to see you and hear you.
You too. I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. It's daylight outside and I've got a mic in front of me. It's supposed to be dark at night when we get on the mic here.
That's true. We are creatures of the night.
It's true.
People are always, I think people that follow Coast to Coast are always interested in kind of getting a little backstage pass. And, you know, we don't tell tales out of school. There's not much to tell. I mean, it's all done remotely. We're not in Los Angeles.
Right.
It's probably not as, you know, as exotic and as people may think. But what for you is the best part of guest hosting on Coast?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's kind of hard to answer because it's so many things. I was in music radio for like 15, 17 years, right before I even graduated from college. I was doing music videos or music, you know, music radio. So if you've ever done that, you know that, you know, there's not a lot of talk usually. You're just pumping the music and back selling it, front selling it, all that kind of thing. And you're working pretty hard usually. You're usually 5 to 6 days a week. You have events that you go to. You have a couple hours of production when you get off the air. The person that's supposed to take over next after you doesn't show up, so you got to do their shift, you know, all sorts of things, just like WKRP in Cincinnati, totally, right? That's how that radio is. And then from there, I started doing television, and it was national work, like what you had just mentioned. And after doing that, at one point, I said, you know what? I miss radio. However, if I get back into it, it would only be talk. And I thought about that, and I thought, Coast to Coast would be it, you know, something like that. I'm blessed to be in it. So there, right there is one good thing. It's talk. It's things that are not the norm. It's not angry politics. It's not the daily news. You got to stay on top of everything. That's good too. But I just love learning about the things that I have a passion for and talking about those things with other people. So that's a plus too, because that's truly a passion for me. Doing TV, they would throw me into, you know, if you did good on one show, a producer might be talking to another producer saying Merry Christmas or something, and they'd say, oh, I got a great talent. And then you'd be pushed over there, which was all great. So you'd go to do another show, but it didn't have anything else to do with a past show. And sometimes, like I did car racing, I didn't know anything about under the hood or anything. I can put gas in it and pay for someone to change the oil or something like that. Or, you know, oops, I forgot to fix the tires. That one just blew and that one's about to. So, you know, let me pay. But radio, you know, that's just where it's at. You know, you want to find your passion. And that's it. So Coast to Coast was it. So that was my big plus. But just being Coast and the fact that it is the biggest, you were just talking about, it is the biggest nighttime show on the planet. And I think it, you know, knocks off a lot of the daytime shows too. It's just amazing. I'm so happy to be on here. So I was asked October of 2014, because it was around my birthday that I remember. So I felt like it was this great birthday present. What about you? Do you remember the month?
Actually, it was April 2009, my very first show.
Oh, okay.
Then I started doing it regularly in January of 2014. The very first show was in April 2009. And my lovely bride, who I refer to as the mighty Aphrodite, just on a whim, I mean, she's my biggest fan and my biggest critic. And she put a package together. And I saw her putting, you know, my resume and all this stuff into an envelope and address. I said, what are you doing, honey? And she says, I'm sending this to Premier Radio Network. I said, why are you doing that? She says, because I want to get you on Coast to Coast. And I said, yeah, as if. And so she found out who to send it to. It was the vice president of talk at Premier, who had, as it happened, she does her research. As it happened at that time, And I forgot.
Was it Bill? It wasn't Bill?
No, it was Oliver or someone. And it it happened, he was a fellow Canuck. He was from Montreal. I don't know if he's with the company anymore.
Okay.
So she said, I'll send it to him, and I'll bet he'll think it would be cool to have a fellow Canadian guest hosting on Coast to Coast.
Smart lady.
I said, okay, well, Godspeed. Good luck.
And smart.
Sure enough, one day the phone rang, and it was the aforementioned Oliver from Premier, and he said, George is taking next Friday off because it's his daughter's birthday. And I think it would be, and he actually said it right back, I think it would be cool to have a fellow Canadian guest hosting on Coast to Coast. So what do you say? So
that's excellent.
So I did one show, and I didn't hit a home run, but I thought it was a kind of a serviceable first attempt. You know, I was pretty nervous. And that was it. I never heard back for 5 years. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? I did one Coast to Coast. I can always say I've done one Coast to Coast AM. They can't
That's
take
right.
that away from me. And then Lisa Lyon called back in January of 2014 and been doing, you know, typically about three shifts a month ever since. And it's really a thrill each and every time. And again, it's having that enormous platform,
mm-hmm.
you know, available to you. And late night, it's the greatest audience. Late night audiences are the greatest audiences in radio, and I love live radio, and I love the whole culture and community that has evolved around the coast mythos, and you know, to be in the same family, really mentioned in the same family as people
yeah.
like Art Bell and George Norrie and George Knapp and everyone. It's just an absolute thrill each and every time.
It is. I always think, wow, I'm a part of that history now. I'm a part exactly. of that history. Even if you just do one show, you're a part of that history. So you ready for my story on it? How that happened for
yes,
me?
Please.
You're going to like it because it's kind of similar. I mean, it's just kind of this shot in the dark. I was actually at one point, I put together a reel, and it was basically to be a lead in. You know, I was hoping to do a nationally syndicated show, and it led in to Coast. Now, I didn't do enough homework to know anything at the time that I guess I didn't do enough homework to know anything at that point, because I started going. I was in New York City and knocking on doors and taking my reels into places, doing different things. I never thought of Coast because it's Coast. They don't need me. Who? What? They got George Norrie. They're good. They're set. You know, I didn't even know about the other. Everybody else coming in, you know, the
weekend
all
host.
Of us, other people, yeah. weekend guest hosts and stuff like that. I was just like, they don't need me. They've got everybody they need. So I was trying to do a lead in, not even trying to go against it. But man, when I was out there, everybody was, you know, I learned how huge Coast was, and it was a pleasure to learn all that. And I just thought, you know, I just want to lead in. I'm not trying to compete. I can't do that. I just want to be the person before. And they actually had, well, Clyde Lewis at that point. Most people had that, or they felt
ground
like
zero, right?
Yeah, with Ground Zero. And everybody had said, well, we kind of feel like we've got that because we already have Coast. And you know, they kept the reel, things like that, whatever. But I did that for quite a while. And I thought, well, I guess this isn't going to happen. But a guy by the name, Rusty Walker, he has since passed, but he was a consultant, big radio consultant, great, huge with country. He won country music or country consultant of the year or something at one right. point. I didn't even know they had that award, but he was great. Everybody loved this guy. And I'd asked him originally, I'd given him the reel. He knew the format was basically like Coast. It just because that was always my passion. In fact, when I was at K92 FM in Orlando, the ops manager there would always say, Connie, you heard that new show out there, Art Bell? You know, that's what you could do. They actually thought about doing it at that station at the time. Then I got into TV. But it was great because he said, Connie, okay, I'm going to work with you. I've got somebody to call. And it will open you up really quickly to 80 stations. So we'll syndicate this. He said, I don't believe in the content, but I'm going to but I believe in you. I'll salute you all the way up, he said. I thought, this is great. This is wonderful. You always like my work from radio. And I thought, this is wonderful. This is good. I'm just going to wait. And then he died. He had a heart attack on his bike. It was absolutely horrible. It was just horrible. He was just a wonderful guy, too young. It was, but before he had passed, he had said, you know, Connie, you ought to just send a tape to Coast. So after he had passed and a while later, I remembered what he said. It was almost like he tapped me from the other side, which you and I would believe, right? So I put together, I found who to send it to, which was the president up in New York. So Julie Talbot, our president, I sent it to her and an email. Remember when you used to have to send all those packages and stuff, really big, heavy packages from a long time ago? Yeah. Just sent it digitally. It was less than 30 minutes. It might've been 20 minutes or even less. I got an email back and she had said, basically, you're on the team. Our VP is going to call you. And he wrote me like 15 minutes or less after that and said, okay, you're going to be on kind of like you this next coming weekend, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I hung up, you know, or not. I wasn't on the phone, but I got off the computer and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm on Coast to Coast. It was that easy. It was that simple, you know, but I think you and I both have put in a lot of work beforehand to be able to get to that point as well. But you know what? Hey, she's from Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky. She went to UK. I went to UK. And then our VP as well, big Kentucky fan. So we're all Kentucky fans. Go Big Blue. And so that does work, doesn't it? You know, you being Canadian as well.
I guess that was my in. Yeah, it was serendipitous, part serendipitous and a lot of sweat for sure.
Yes.
So you mentioned, you know, your passion and the paranormal and Bigfoot. Did you move, by the way, because you're now, I mean, you've moved around, you know, that old WKRP up and down the dial. I mean, you have been up and down the dial and crisscrossing the country and Kentucky and Orlando, and now you're in Colorado. This may sound like a weird question, but did you move to Colorado because you wanted to be closer to Bigfoot?
That is a weird question. I cannot believe you, Richard. You asked somewhere. No, you know what? I was at one point I was trying to decide where to go. I was back in Kentucky helping my mom. And before that, I was in Philly. Yeah, I actually went from Lexington to Louisville. Louisville to Lexington, Lexington to Louisville, Philly, San Antonio, quickly. Sarasota, which, oh my gosh, that's where I learned I don't care about the market size. I just want to like the city I live in.
Right.
That's where I learned that in radio, because usually you bounce up to the higher markets, right? Philly, that's where I was doing QVC and stuff like that. But I actually got on Philly market because the first show of Coast, I was in Philly, but then moved to Kentucky and did it from there. Left Kentucky saying, you know what, I've been out east for too long. Where do I go next? So it was either going to be Denver, Seattle, and I was considering LA, Sherman Oaks, where the headquarters is, right, of Premier and Coast. Even heard there might have been a studio out in Hawaii. I thought, hey, wait a minute, there's a studio in Hawaii. But I did think about getting a little closer to the station. And normally you would, right? You'd think that's a good idea, but it doesn't really matter. I'm in a closet. I think you might, you know, you're at home too, right? I love it. I'm in an actual closet. I love it. So Denver it was, and here I am. However, you're right though. I mean, outside my window, the Rockies, beautiful. And there, Richard, there's like everything out there. You know, we talk about Skinwalker Ranch. George Knapp, of course, has done wonders with that. But the Skinwalker Ranches are everywhere, you know, just has a different name or not a name yet. No one's pegged it yet, but they're everywhere, everywhere. The place I go up to, that Dennis Fole is the one who introduced me to that area. He is the guy that, if anybody's into the Bigfoot world, he was the only guy ever paid at the time, maybe there's some more people, to study what was called the Pancake House in Kentucky, actually, also known as the Erickson Project, because Erickson is the one who funded like $3.5 million into the study of the Bigfoot that are around this house. This lady used to feed pancakes to a Bigfoot or a Bigfoot family for years, like maybe even over decades. And so they wanted to study because there was so much activity. And he was the guy that did it. Anyway, he's just an amazing person. I love him to death. He's one of my members of my show. But he showed me that area. And there's so much stuff, at least the area I go to. There's so much activity up there. Bigfoot, UFOs, beams of light, sparkles, dogman, things I've never seen before. It's like, what is that entity? Just different things happen all the time. And I love that. Sometimes it's a little much, though, Richard. Sometimes I get worn out because it's just too much. When you know, it's not like just once in a while, once in 10 years, you see something. It's every time.
And what is every time? Is that once a month, twice a month?
Well, my show, Blue Rock Talk, has three elements to it. It has Far Out Thursday, which is interview like this. Bigfoot Friday, interview like this. So Far Out is anything other than Bigfoot. And then it's my project, Creepy Hotspots, which is the live investigations of Bigfoot, Dogman, Strange Lights, which could be UFO or not, and then hauntings. And so if we do a haunting, it's overnight. It's live overnight. That's all you can take. You're done by the time you've done the midnight hour and the bewitching hour. You're like done. But everybody
That's
participates.
Stream. That's live
Yeah, it's all live stream. Yeah. And everybody investigates with me. I might be there, or maybe even somebody else might be there. Maybe you say, hey, Connie, there's this really cool place down the street. I'll do a spot with you and you'll lead it for us. And I'll be here, you know, doing something like that. And yeah, everybody's into it in the live chat, whether it's a haunting or out there in the Rockies or wherever it might be, where there's activity. And so far, you know, 100%, we're batting 1,000, gotten activity on every one of them because you do your homework, right? But in the live chat, everybody's just as interactive. You know, we're not about all these devices and stuff. I mean, with ghost related stuff, a lot of people really like to do that. You know, I'm just very particular about some of that stuff, especially, you know, I do try to mix some of the things to see how it works. But what we've learned that has worked with us is we're all believers, first of all. We're not haters, and haters don't pay. It's a paid membership. But it's very deep. It's not 101, are you still deciding? It's you already know. So when I'm at a place, there's people in the live chat going, Connie, there's something to the left. That's what I thought. I'm feeling the same thing. So we use our intuition, and it's just so fun. It's so fun because people all over are enjoying the show. They're in Canada. They're I mean, across the states, obviously, but Alaska and Hawaii states as well. But I love these. It's amazing how many people from Hawaii and Alaska have just recently joined the show. So I love it because they've got so many stories to tell too, especially Alaska. And yeah, it's just so fun to hear from them. But everybody uses their own intuition, and it's amazing what we've learned by doing that.
We're going to take a quick time out, Connie. When we come back, I want to talk more about how this creepy hotspots night on Blue Rock Talk works, because it sounds almost like, I mean, it would be a logistical nightmare. I don't know how you pull that off. And yet, as you say, you're batting 1,000 every time you go to this particular creepy hotspot. You're getting some kind of activity. Connie Willis, my guest, my colleague on Coast to Coast AM, and more of our conversation right after these.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Connie Willis is with us, professional broadcaster, also a colleague on Coast to Coast AM, and you can follow her podcast, ConnieWillis.com. Is that the best place to find it?
Yeah, if you go there, you'll see Blue Rock Talk, and you'll see Connie After Dark, and you'll see Connie Willis, the podcast, taking after Richard, jumping on the podcast scene.
We were talking about Blue Rock Talk, and so you do your Bigfoot program.
Bigfoot Friday.
Bigfoot Friday, you do Far Out Thursday, and then what night of the week is the Creepy Hotspots?
Yeah, those are all radio tricks, right? You know, you do the Bigfoot Friday, so they'll remember Friday, right? And then the Far Out Thursday, so they'll remember Thursday, right? We would always do that with radio shows. When? What did you ask?
When is the Creepy Hotspots?
We do that. We do one once a month, and the logistics, you know, they change constantly. The weather, maybe you can't get up to where you want to go, or maybe somebody asks you to go somewhere else where they are. So, you know, it changes, but usually it's once a month, and it just kind of changes when it's going to be. And what we do is we do a setup of like a history and a prep, and we get you all excited about this is what happens there. Here's where we're going. This is what we know about it. And hopefully we have somebody from there, unless it's something I just do myself. And then it's just me talking about what has happened before in the past. Then we go. And again, the hauntings are just overnight. And you're worn out. You're worn out by the end of it. And everybody's in different time zones. So that's kind of fun, too. One group goes to bed. The other one is, you know, hey, wide awake, doing their coffee, enjoying the show. And then when it's some sort of Bigfoot, strange lights type thing, that's about 3 to 5 nights wherever we go. So I love going to the Rockies, but there's sometimes the snow just doesn't let you go. Amazingly enough, it truly is a ton of snow to where you really can't go somewhere. It's amazing.
Are you shooting this all like on an iPhone, or how are you shooting this, and how are you live streaming in the middle of nowhere, you know, on?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
That's what's tough. You're exactly right. So the, a lot of the hauntings, if you go to Waverly Hills, a lot of people know Waverly, man. I mean, it's in an area where if you're outside, you're going to get a signal. But once you go inside that huge building that is cement, you know, just brick everywhere, it's really hard even inside to get Wi-Fi, and you have trouble. So you go in and out of different areas, and you do your best, and you make sure everybody else turns off all their, you know, everybody else turn off your phones, and you lower the, because it's all it's video as well. It's paid membership live streaming video. But you take your iPad or your iPhone, whatever you're shooting with, and you go down to 720. So it's still in HD, but it's not so tough of trying to pull in 4K or something. And that's what you do. You know, you do everything you possibly can. You just keep going. And, you know, there's boosters now. There's things that will help out. But when you're out in the Rockies, oh my gosh, it is a constant struggle. I've got the booster going. I rent like an RV or a 4x4. Of some sort. It's got to be 4x4 up there, because we go off the grid. We're deep in the Rockies. We've got activity happening And you just, you know, I just keep trying to get a signal if it doesn't work. We have an area that we call Broadcast Hill that, you know, depending on where you've got your spot, it's about 5-7 miles up. But hey, we can get a, you know, I tell people what's going on. I'm like, hey, this is what happened last night. So we live stream about 2 hours each time. And it's usually not enough. People are like, give me more. I'm like, you guys, come on. I got to eat or sleep. So, but they're fun. It's a great group of people. Everybody's into it. And it's really exciting. Now, the last couple of times I actually went by myself, I called it alone and then alone two up there. And I would not advise it, especially when you go somewhere where you know, where there is activity and you get it. It's a little different when one other person, even if it's one other person is there, at least I think there's 50% chance that they'll get eaten and not me. You know, I got a chance to get away. Richard.
You only have to run not as fast as the Bigfoot, just faster than the person you're bunking with.
Shove that one and move forward. Right, exactly.
So what happened when you went up there alone? And this is the same spot up in the mountains?
Yeah. In this one radius, there's different areas to go that I have been taught and you know, shown. And so I decide which one to go into by the feel when I go up there. And if nobody else is there, you know, people can go to these areas. Dispersed camping is good. And you can go in deeper. And you got the solar, at least me, I get the 4x4 RV truck campers now. I did a Revel. Winnebago Revel before, but I really like the 4x4. Goes in deeper that are on the trucks and then the camper on it and then a pass through in between because I don't want to get out of the vehicle. So there's something called a Tiger that I really like. It's got the pass through. So it's on a truck. So you already can trust. It's just like driving a truck. So that's really nice. It's got everything. Like when they put those campers on, but it's not that. It's totally one whole piece. They put it, you buy like a Dodge Ram or whatever, then they put this on. You'll never see that truck again. They put this thing on, they cut a pass through, so you never have to get out. Got the bathroom, shower. It's got room for four people and you can cook. It's got it all. That's the only way I can really do it because it gets really scary when you're hearing the screams, the yells, when they're coming up and rocking you, or they put their handprint, they leave handprints behind, their huge handprints. They come to see you, talk to you, let you know, hey, I know you're here for me. But when you're by yourself and that happens, and it does, you know, it's really, really freaky. So one of the first time I went alone, it was with the Revel? Yeah, it was the Winnebago Revel. So, and I only say that because there's different seatings and there's different windows placed. And I remember one of the things I remember, there's a lot that happens when you're up there. There's just so much you can't even remember it because some people will go out, 20 years, right? They're looking and they might remember a pebble was thrown or maybe they thought they saw a light or a sparkle. That stuff's just normal. It's some of the bigger things we started recognizing. I did, and everybody in the live chat on this first alone, that I actually went to two locations. The first one I went to, I could not upload the video. I could talk by audio, so that was good. I had someone, one of our Blue Rockers, Executive Tom, took over and he started running the show for me video wise. And then he had the phone up to the mic. It was great.
He was with you?
No, he was where he lives in San Francisco.
Well, how does he do the video?
He's running my platform and you see him. Okay. You see him. And then he's got me on the phone.
Got it.
So he's talking like that.
Right.
Yeah. It was a saver there because I wasn't getting through in this one area and I was exhausted. It was night, dark, you know, it's not good to try to set up somewhere else when it's just pitch black. It's blacker than black. So I was in an area and I just called everybody and said, hey, look, you know, I worked for like an hour to try to get the video. Just wasn't happening with the booster and everything. So we set it up that way. And as I'm there, I'm telling them, it's a new every time I rent something, it's a new vehicle to me. So I got to learn all the things. I couldn't turn off some of these running lights underneath me. So a lot of these have little lights underneath and front porch and back porch, you know, because it's kind of a home, right? They've got the bed and everything. But there was, these lights were on. I couldn't figure out how to turn them off. And I didn't know what was going on. I was like, why can't I turn these things off? Later found out that when you shut the van doors, because it's a camper van, so you shut that sliding glass door, even as hard as I did it from the inside, it looked and locked like it was shut, but it wasn't. It was just enough to keep that light on. Didn't know it at the time, but it was killing me because I was like, no, I don't want anybody to see me here. I don't want to be a beacon at all, you know, anything like that.
And would the lights attract? Did the lights attract Bigfoot?
Well, you know, you think sometimes, you know, you think maybe they won't come up, right? Well, here's what's interesting. Okay, when people put up cameras for Bigfoot, if you put a camera up here, they'll pretty much walk over here and over here. They know where the camera is. I believe that. So they'll walk around it. So I'm just thinking, well, the lights that are on, there's just certain areas that it illuminates, but there's other areas that are dark. So I just thought, I didn't think anything was going to happen. But then right next to me, now these, even though they're supposed to be, you know, four people can fit in this, you know, Revel, they're tight. Okay. So it's just me and I'm talking in the middle and there's the door and there's somebody walking outside of it and they're bipedal. I'm listening to it. Like, what is that? And branches are cracking and, you know, twigs and stuff. And so much that they heard it when they were on the phone talking to me, they heard it. But some people in the chat who normally say, oh yeah, you got somebody to the right of you. It's a, you know, there's a Bigfoot next to you. There's this happening. There's something else over there, you know, wild animal or whatever. They weren't feeling anything this night. Nothing. They were saying, there's nothing. In fact, they were kind of laughing at me. There's nothing next to you. Ha, ha, ha. You're just getting all nervous and everything.
Are they going by
you're alone?
Feel? They're just going by feel because
yeah.
They're video. They're just getting
yeah.
a sense of video. Okay.
Yeah. Even the video, if it was going, they would have just saw me just going, hey, hey, everybody, how you doing? Right. That's all they would have seen. I maybe would have showed them the camper and maybe cooking or something. But that would have been it. Right. I wouldn't put it outside when I hear something going. That'll just make it move and run off. But I was surprised because those running lights were on, but it came right where the running lights were not. And it was walking around and it just was very casual. It stayed there forever. And it was finally to the point I had to go because I thought, okay, it can't be a person. They wouldn't come up with any of the lights around like that. I mean, I just don't think that would be not where I was. If you're walking around as a person out there, then I needed to definitely run because that would have been really weird and being that close to me, just space wise,
an outline, anything.
It was just me feeling it hearing it again. Wait a minute. I was hearing it. I wasn't feeling it at all. And normally, if something comes up, you get that vibe. If you're empathic at all, you'll get the vibe. You'll hear them. And everybody in the live chat, these people are incredible. They got incredible talents. And they are all there before I am sometimes because I'm trying to, you know, cook or do something and bring these things closer in. Two people in the live chat said, no, wait a minute, there is something out there. They were able to pick it up. So we're trying to learn every time. So we're trying to learn why these other people that are really good at it didn't pick it up, but two other people did. And I think I might know the answer. And we talked about it. We think it's a possibility it could have been something ET and ooh. Not Bigfoot. Yeah. And there's
we're going to stop right there.
Okay.
And talk okay. about Connie Willis's Alone tour. Stay with us.
Great. Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Hanging out with Connie Willis, my colleague on Coast to Coast AM. And again, check out Blue Rock Talk. There's Freaky, no, Thursdays. What's Thursday again?
Far out, man.
Far out,
dude.
John Denver. Speaking of Colorado, yeah.
That's right. You're good.
Far Out Thursdays, Bigfoot Friday, and then Creepy Hotspots, which happens usually once a month. And so you're deep in the wilds of Colorado in this RV-type rig, and you sense something bipedal is walking around outside. And then meanwhile, you've got people watching and listening on in the live chat as you're streaming this as it's happening live. And that's the beautiful thing about what you're doing on Creepy Hotspots. Incidentally, I mean, I don't think, is there anything like that out there? Anyone else doing that?
I don't know.
Investigations live as they happen?
You know what? I see people doing it, I think, on Facebook and stuff like that. I try not to watch it because I'll be like, I don't want to watch. I don't want to pick anything up for that they're doing, whatever. But I don't know to the extent that they do it. I know I've been doing it maybe 3 to 5 years now. And I don't think at the time people were, you know, and I was putting it in that program, just TV background, right? And radio background, and putting together the broadcasting. Now everybody is a broadcaster, right? Everybody's a broadcaster. Yeah.
So, back to the story, people watching and picking up something and who someone decided or felt that this was not Bigfoot, this was extraterrestrial?
Well, not at the time. There were so many people that were not picking up anything, laughing at me. I mean, they, you know, my own blue rockers, my own blue blood, you know, they're laughing at me. You're just, you know, it's because you're alone. And I'm like, no, I'm not, you know, of course, I'm scared if there's, you know, five other people with me. I'm still scared. Believe me, I'm still that way. I admit it. That I'm that person, but I'm there. You know, I'm wanting to learn it. So I'm wanting to know what it all is. So I do go there. But it was as if somebody was standing around and they, you know, like smoking a cigarette or something, just kind of hanging. And they'd move a little bit more, maybe a little more, because you could hear them and with their feet. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, they're right next to me. And these people, no. And you know, they're usually pretty good. Two people at one point said, no, there is something there. There is something. They are right there. They're not that tall. You know, they were saying a couple different things. Well, at one point, I had to take off. The guy, Executive Tom, that was on the phone with me, he goes, I heard that. Go, just go, you know, because we didn't know what it was. It wasn't typical Bigfoot behavior. It was something else. So when I turned and, you know, I hated to get back in the front because all those lights that were in the front part were shining my face. And I've had one look in the window at me before. So
Bigfoot.
It's kind of, yeah. And it's one of those things where you're like, I don't want to see that again unless I'm ready. And I'm not ready. You know, let me do that in the day, not at night. So I got up to the front. Again, it's a pass-through. I didn't have to go out. Ugh. And I didn't have enough stuff packed out. I think there were a couple of things like chairs or something. And Tom had said, just go. Go back and get those, you know. So I did start going out of this area, which is a back dispersed area, back in the woods a little bit. So I get out, and as I turn right and go up to get on the actual gravel road to get out of the mountain, which is going to be about 13 miles from where I was. Darn it, if I didn't see this light that I see up there all the time I see it up there. And the light up in the sky, it's like a very low star. Kid you not, it was almost as though it looked at me, or it was looking the other way, heard a vehicle turn, this is, imagine a star doing this, okay?
Right, right.
The star's looking the other way. It like seems to turn and look at you and go, aha, and starts following me as I'm going off the mountain. Starts following me. Yep. So I finally got off. I didn't look. I just got off, you know, went to another location, stayed there just for a little bit, and then went back up as soon as the light came up, got into another area. And then that next day, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, nothing ever happened. It's just, these are the things that happen. You know, I don't think there was missing time or anything like that, but these things are happening around you, like what you hear about constantly. It's just a constant thing. So when I went up to the next location, I got a little bit more sleep too, because it was in the day. And I sat in, and this is why the Revel, there's an area you can sit right behind the seats. You turn the captain's chairs, you know, around, and you can look in the rest of the vehicle. And so I'm sitting in what would have been the desk facing where the captain's seats would be looking back. And I'm just talking. I think I was doing a live stream, or I was about to. I think maybe I just set it up. When I'm there, I do live streams. But I also, in between, shoot in 4K and shoot the area and look around and say, do you see anything? And then I put that on the show in the archive in the Blue Rock Vault for later so people can see it, because sometimes there's a lot of pixelation being as far out as we are. But I was just sitting there, and again, something strange happened that's not the norm. Normally, you get a good idea that something's around you. You hear it, you feel it, you sense it. There's grunting, there's breathing, and maybe not always that, there's branches, but there's usually a feeling of some sort that, whoa, something's around me right now. I'm sitting there, I guess, preparing or shooting or doing something, and there's a window right here next to me, and I just happened to look, and it was just going to be one of those quick looks like that. That's all I was going to do, and that's all I did. And when I did, I saw, and this is up about 7 to 8 foot, where this window is, if you're outside. It might even be 7 to 9 foot area. It's
off the ground.
Yeah. Right. And there's also a little bitty dip too, right there. And it's up against a tree area. And I'm up in another whole area where basically, you know, I'm 10,000 feet up. And I look, and when I look, I remember telling them, y'all, I saw a Bigfoot. The chest of a Bigfoot, but I kept thinking, but it's not really a Bigfoot. You know, we're out there for a Bigfoot. So I'm thinking that, but I was like, but you know what? I think it had more of a body of, like, if your dog, you know, puts its paws up on you.
Right, right.
And you see that chest
kind of
stretching, and, you know, it's thinner, right? And yes, then it's a belly. It looked more like that. And it was a darker, it was black. It wasn't hairy fur. It was like a dog fur, mm-hmm. a dog hair. And it was like the kind you don't cut. You know, the other stuff, you know, the hair you have to cut some dogs. It's the dogs you don't have to cut, the shorter hair.
Right.
It was like that. And I saw a chest. So, and it was male. And there was white hair in there too. It was wide. I've seen Bigfoot wider, but it was wide, and that's what I saw. So I don't know what was above, or I don't know what was below, but it seemed, it was very muscular. However, it was also kind of scrawny muscular, like maybe it was older.
Hmm.
And that's what I saw. I mean, boom. And then I went, oh my gosh, that kind of, I kind of thing. And there was no feel. There was no sound. There was nothing.
No smell.
No, nothing. I don't know.
Is that captured in the live stream? I mean, did that go out on video?
No. And it was so, I was right before I was doing a live stream, and I can't remember if I was shooting something else or just trying to fix something. And I just went, ah, and I looked back, it was gone. There was no sound, just nothing at all. No scampering, anything. And look, I'm doing this journey on my own. You're like following with me kind of thing is what I like to say. This is for me to learn, everybody else too. But I'm not here to fake something or to embellish something for a show for you guys. I'm doing this for me, and you're coming with me. Let me see what I find, and you see what you see with me too, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm not there to lie, embellish, or try to get ratings or some sort, you know, for people to just join the show. I'm trying to figure out the answers. I don't know what that was, but that entire weekend was like that, where things would happen and you had no sense. And I thought it was just me. I thought, maybe, what, am I losing my touch? The people in the live chat were going through the same thing. Now, in between, there was one, I took a cop with me, and the cop saw Bigfoot just the same way, in the same place, out a back window, the same way I did that, whatever that body was that I saw. She saw a Bigfoot, and she said, I just saw a Bigfoot, just went by. Didn't hear it, didn't feel it, didn't say nothing. And she's huge, great psychically. Then the next one was an alone too. I went back again, and to the left of me inside and to the right of me for over 2 hours until I couldn't take it anymore. There were two things walking around the same way, and they were like, I don't know if they're poking or throwing pebbles or what. If you go and watch, there's 2 hours of it. I finally had to leave. I could not take it anymore. I was like, just do whatever you're going to do. That's not Bigfoot behavior. Usually they're kind of there and then they kind of go. Hmm. These things were staying.
Researchers can spend decades and get, you know, if they're lucky, they see one.
Yeah, yeah.
You have had numerous repeated experiences, whether it's Bigfoot or whether it's dogmen or some other cryptid or ETs, lights in the sky. You've seen it all. It happens monthly, right?
It happens.
Is it something about you, Connie?
I don't want to say that, do I? Good question, though. Very good question.
Are they attracted to you somehow?
They like you or they don't. So that's the first thing. And the Bigfoot itself, it's all about a relationship. So you keep going to the same place. You know, it's like the pancake house. The lady there continued to give pancakes to the Bigfoot, and they came around to get the pancakes. It's all about a relationship. I think you can go into a haunted house, and I don't know this about building a relationship with one. I don't know that you can do that. Maybe some people can, but I don't really know that to be kind of the norm. ET, you usually don't want to see them in my book. And I don't think they care if it's a relationship unless you're part of the alien abduction. And I do believe in that. The Bigfoot, though, it's about a relationship. It's kind of like dating someone. And the more you get to know them, the more you're out there, the more you just build a stronger relationship, and they'll communicate with you more.
Do you have a relationship with an individual Bigfoot? Maybe you've even given it a name, and you recognize it by the coloration or the size or anything like that. Do you have that kind of a relationship?
Well, one of the times I went up there, so Dennis Fole is who introduced that spot. Jason Frank had taken me up there at one point, and he told me his stories. And, you know, these are all people that have come before me. And Jason had called one of them that he had seen since a child, Elvis, because it had a little body and a big head when it was tiny. And he saw it kind of grow throughout the years, is how he puts it. And so he called him Elvis. And the time he took me up, it was amazing, the stuff I saw. It was absolutely incredible. I had actually said to, you know, I did some mind speak because I'd had that happen before in Alabama, and I knew to do that. And we were all out. It was a whole bunch of us, about maybe 2, 4, 6, 7 people and different tents. I was in the cab with my little Penny girl, my little pet, my best friend. And so I was staying in the cab. I didn't have a tent. I just basically moved to Denver. I didn't have anything going on. And so I drove up with them, and that's where I stayed. There was a blizzard. There was different weather the whole time we were there. And one of the nights we're around the fire, and I remember feeling like something remote viewed me, and it hurt. And I could see that another girl got it too, because I saw her go, ow, just like I did. It hurt too. And I looked at her. I said, I just got viewed. She goes, I did too. And I had said to it, I said, look, can you still hear me? My voice, it sounds weird to me. Do you still hear me?
Okay. I do. Your level dropped a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You jacked me up there. I don't know what's going on. I'll have to figure that out before I go on coast next. But I had said at that point, mine spoke. I said, if you're Elvis, which is what we were thinking, that was Elvis in that area. I said, I do want to see you, but I don't want to see your eyes. I'm not ready yet. I said that. Well, it was later that night when I saw some of the craziest things. I saw sparkles in the woods while everybody was still out with the fire. I was sitting in the vehicle and I started seeing sparkles outside in the, you know, in the woods over to the left of where everybody else was. And then I saw something that almost looked like a wall of sparkles that lights would go off and on intermittently. Now, it was more of a dim glow, but it was almost like a LED dim glow. And they were different than the other sparkles that were happening that were different colors. I couldn't believe all the stuff I was seeing. And then everybody went to bed. And at one point, I woke up and I noticed the light in the cab of the vehicle was on. And I was actually up on my knees looking. I was actually on the floor at one point. I'll give you the brief scenario here, but I was, first of all, I was like, what is this light? Wow. You know, I'm in Colorado and I'm in the Rockies. So I'm closer to the moon, and that's the moonlight that I'm seeing. And I'm like, man, that's really nice. How beautiful is that? How bright it is. Good. I can see what I'm trying to do in the cab. I don't know what I'm trying to do, but this is what's running in my head. And at one point it turned off. It just turned off. I went, it was like somebody had a light.
Yeah, that wasn't the moon. That was not.
It wasn't the moon. It's like they turned it off. I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess it went behind that cloud. So everything I'm putting like a human thought, right? You know, that must have been a cloud that, you know, covered up the moon. Wow, what a cloud that was. And so another time I remember, it just strange things started happening. My whole body was actually in the back of the cab. The rest of my body was in the front. And I said, oh, wow, this is funny. Why am I back here? Oh, I'm getting a toy or a blanket or something for a little Penny girl. It was really weird. And then when I sat down, I started,
body experience.
Well, you tell me. I can tell you what I think. But at one point I was up under the dash of this vehicle, right? In this truck. And my little Penny girl seems to be fine. She's not, you know, she's a good little sleeper anyway, but I see something glowing or something. And I was told there's this big orange light that will go by that's the size of a VW. So I'm up under the dash. I don't know why my arms are like this. And I like a fist and just, you know, cupped in. And I am unable to move, but I'm going to do everything I can to move. So I was able to thrust up. And I thought, I'm going to see that big, huge orange light that they're talking about. I pushed up and I saw something I never thought I'd see. I saw a beam of light coming from the top of a tree down on the tent right next to me. And then I saw it move at one point to the next tent. And it didn't move over like a helicopter light. It was like a spotlight.
Right.
But it turned on the tent, turned off the tent. Then the next thing you saw is it turned on the next tent. It didn't go to the left, didn't go to the right. It precisely knew where to turn it on, and it did. And that was the prettiest bluish light I've ever seen. And I was looking at what looked like Hollywood. It was exactly the way Hollywood would make it. I was like, well, Hollywood nailed that one. I wonder how they knew that.
Like a spotlight from some sort of craft vehicle.
Something
shining
up
down
in the spruce trees right there that I couldn't see, that was about 20 yards away and just at the top of a little collage of spruce street trees going right down. And there was another tent over this way. And I saw that happen too. And I just thought, oh, poor Mike, because he was by himself. The other ones, at least it was two in each one. But at another time, as I'm like this, and I'm laying there just like going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm seeing all this stuff. I'm not afraid. I can't move. I think they've got my emotions too. But one point, for some reason, I'm like laying sideways. I'm literally like this in the most uncomfortable position you could ever imagine in a vehicle. My body's halfway on that center console. And my dog's over, a little bit of Yorkie. She is just on the other seat. I'm in the passenger seat. I look over to the driver's window because I feel like I should. And when I do, I see the biggest head, eyes up. I mean, the eyebrows up. And not even eyebrows, just the forehead up. Yeah. And ears. It was huge. Now, this is like one of these big, huge trucks, okay? Big, huge 4x4 truck that this guy has that I'm in the cab. So the windows are huge. This head was absolutely huge. This was skin, and the other part was like tuffled hair, and then it had pointed ears.
Pointed ears?
Yeah. It was like kind of like the shape of a dog. I was like, yeah, that's what I said. And I just...
Did your friend who named this one particular Bigfoot Elvis, did he mention Elvis having pointed ears?
Good question. Hang in there. I was looking at the... Great question. So that's why you're on coast. So I am barely making my head move to where I can see it, right? I'm doing everything I can to hold it up and move it just so, to see this. And I saw that, what I just described, and I ran out of energy, and I came back this way looking straight ahead, and I went, oh my gosh, did I just see what I think I saw? And so I did it again. Keep in mind, this is pitch black, dark night in the Rockies. Why is there even some light on it that I could see it?
Exactly.
Right? Where's the light coming from? So I do it again. I look again. I'm like, oh, I'm going to look again. And I do. And I see again this huge head. And I turn back around. I'm like, oh, I did see it. I did see it. Oh, my gosh. I did see it. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to see its eyes. I don't want to see its eyes. I did it about 4 or 5 times. The third time I did it, I made sure. I said, okay, that's all I see is the head. That's what I see. When I saw it when I looked the last time, when it wasn't there, I could see that there was a car there. Right. So I knew that whatever was there before is not there now. And it was this huge head. It never showed its eyes. Like I asked, it respected me there and didn't show its eyes. I would have seen him. It would have been looking right at me 2.5 feet away. Oh, my gosh. I was not ready for that. So the next day. In the morning, we're all leaving. We were all going to stay another night. We're all leaving. Everybody's packing up. And I had said, wow, you know, there was so much activity happening. And one of the people said, is actually Jason Frank. He said, well, the guy that was with him in his tent, he said, well, he actually said he saw some light above the tent, a dim light in the tent. Well, they had that thick green canvas tent.
Yeah.
And I said, oh yeah. And I just acted as though just, you know, like if you and I went and got coffee, hey, how's it going? Whatever. I was talking like that. I said, yeah, he did see light. That's because there was a beam on him. I saw the beam of light. It was on you guys. And then it was on them, which was a couple. And they had this, the yellow nylon. So it like lit up like crazy. And she had one of these organite things that she has, which has all these types of stuff in it that will glow in the dark when the light hits it. And I had said, hey, and you all got a big light too, a big beam of light on you too. We did. Yeah. And the guy goes, well, maybe that's why her organic, whatever those things are called that people have. They said it's lighting up more than ever. And I said, yeah, it was on y'all for a long time. They were a new romantic couple. I didn't know what might have been going on
right
in there.
They weren't paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were just like watching. Yeah, exactly. And so I started talking about the light. No one else recognized it because they're in the tent. I'm the one that's got the dashboard, you know, the windows all around by being in the truck cab and just watching it just in amazement. And I said, and I also, I think I saw Elvis. And he said, why is that? And I said, well, it's this huge head. It was this huge head. And I was concentrating on the fact that it never showed me the eyes. And I thought, how respectful is that? But I then said, he's a huge head, this tufted hair, and he had pointed ears. I said, so, you know, it had pointed ears. He goes, oh, you saw Elvis. I said, how do you know? He goes, because I never told you he had pointed ears.
There you go.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, is he a dog man? You know, I asked that. Maybe he's a dog man. But it was an amazing, it was amazing. And before we were all packed up, right in that same spot, and I have a picture of it, right in the same spot, below the spruce at the bottom of those spruce trees, and everything else is aspen, there was a huge scream for like 20, 30 seconds or so. It seemed like forever. It was one of those screams you always, you know, people say there's a Bigfoot. There was no doubt. There was like almost like syllables, and you could actually see visuals of the sound because it was so funky. And then after that ended, something about 20, 30 yards over to the right answered it. It just as long. Wow. It was like a baby screaming. It was like a woman getting raped. All these things people say, and it was right there. And we all heard it. But everybody was in this little smiley daze too, which to me, I think that, you know, I mean, look, I saw lights, beams, sparkles, Bigfooty stuff. I mean,
you've seen it all.
And yeah, all in one night too. And then hearing them scream. So I took my iPad for my show, 4K, did a 360 right after that happened. And of course, I'm going, okay, you all tell me if you see anything. Well, at one point, I went back and looked, and you can see the back of a Bigfoot.
Whoa.
And it's just sitting there. And we're just right here. We're just right behind it. And it's almost like, yeah, we had a big night last night. Wow. And I'm resting now.
Just another day at the office for Connie Willis.
It was, well, that was the Bigfoot doing it, right? And it was amazing. So I'll show you that sometime. If you go to my show, you'll see that. And I'm going to be asking you in the future about podcasting, if you don't mind, with my new podcast.
I would love to. So yeah, the brand new podcast at Connie Willis, the podcast, conniewillis.com. There's Connie After Dark, which is her live virtual open bar. You can enjoy a drink and conversation with her and others. And of course, then there's Blue Rock Talk, which is her exclusive membership show, taking you to creepy hotspots like we just described, and Faro Thursday and Bigfoot Friday. How do we subscribe to Blue Rock Talk?
Just go to conniewillis.com. That's all you got to do, and you'll see the shows. That's where Connie After Dark is as well, and Connie Willis the podcast. And if you look closely, you'll see on the Blue Rock Talk, if you're a Coast to Coast fan, you get 50% off. If you are a senior or a veteran, you get over 70% off. The Connie After Dark, that's a drinking game, and that is a fundraising game. So it raises money for the gear and the things that we need, diesel, gas, whatever, for Blue Rock Talk. So if you go there, it's $25 a show for that. And let me tell you, doesn't stop people, but that is a fundraising show. But if you want to save some money, if you look on the conniewillis.com screen where you find Connie After Dark, you'll see a nice coupon for, like, I can't remember, it's over 30%, something like that. So use that. And hey, my podcast, you can join that and follow me there and see how I do, because I'm new to that, but I'm going to get some tips from Richard here, you guys.
Hey, Connie, it's been great hanging out with you.
You too. Thanks, Richard. Yeah, you'll be with me here shortly, and I might even ask you on my podcast.
Wow, I would be honored.
I mean, is that cool? Is that good?
You
good?
I would be honored. Absolutely.
All right. You want to do a creepy hotspot sometime?
You mean go
out with me?
Wow.
In the Rockies.
If I'm ever in Colorado, I would love to. Absolutely.
Dude, we just have to make sure you could go. You up for it?
I would be up for it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. All right. Great. That'd be fun. Okay. Could you imagine?
I don't want to see the eyes like you. I think that would put me over the top. I don't want to see the eyes.
Yeah.
Connie Willis.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at strangeplanetpodcast.com.